This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with John King of John and Martha King and King Schools fame. John, you've had an encounter with the FAA over the past 18 months. You currently do not have a valid medical and you're fighting to get it back. Tell us how it all happened.
Well, like a lot of pilots, I've got that encounter, and as you know, it's very personal, very intimate, it means a lot to you. But I had a case where I was getting out of the bed one morning to go to the bathroom, fell back into the bed, and wasn't coherent as quickly as Martha thought I should be. So eventually she called the ambulance. They took me to the hospital. It appears, that I had a seizure. Excuse me, Russ, I've got a cold, so you'll see that as I go along here. And I was subsequently had a lot of evaluations, and I was told by two very good neurologists, one of them being head of epileptology at Mayo Clinic, that I wasn't going to have a problem again. It was provoked by having had too little sleep, too much coffee, and I was on some medication, and I also had a prostate infection at the time. So all that, adding all that up, they felt that was provoked, and so I resumed flying. And then my medical expired, and went to an AME to get my medical renewed, reported this event because I had been in a hospital, and the FAA denied it.
Okay, well, the term provoked is is sort of central to all this, isn't it?
The term what? Provoked?
The term provoked when it relates
yes,
to
it
a
is.
Seizure.
Yes, it is. The FAA's position is if a seizure is provoked, they can reexamine you as a possibility of getting your license in 2 years. But if on the other hand, it's unprovoked, the time is 4 years. And excuse me about my voice. It's bothering me. I hope it's not bothering you as much as it's bothering me. So in any event, the FAA has taken a position that it was unprovoked and it's 4 years. And my position is, and the neurologist who examined me said it's 2 years and I'm no more likely to have a repeated seizure than the general public. So that's the position we're in. It's been beyond 2 years now. And we reapplied to the medical, and I've been denied again. We took it to the federal air surgeon. I was denied again. And one of the interesting things is that Martha and I have done is that the FAA has four core values that they're following in flight standards. This is part of the compliance philosophy. One is they want to have a just culture. Two, when they get to a hurdle, they want to conduct research to find as many ways they possibly can to get to yes, and that's their value, is to try and get to yes. Number three, they want to have a risk-based management so that they think about the risks and why are we doing this? It's got to be based on risks. And number four, they want to treat people as individuals. Well, that works, and they're doing it very well in flight standards, but the medical folks are not doing it. And in my case, I said, look, I've got two neurologists who say that it was provoked, including the head of epileptology at Mayo Clinic. I think I should be given my medical now. But if that still bothers you, I'll offer you a risk mitigation. Martha and I fly together all the time. How about giving me a medical that is restricted as with a co-pilot? And they acted as if they hadn't even heard it. They haven't entertained it, haven't discussed it. They're not even willing to take a look at it. And this, to me, violates the core values that they've established for the rest of the FAA. And I think it hurts them that they're not willing to look at it on a risk-based basis and treat people as individuals. And so that's what we're going to the NTSB. We're having a hearing. And that'll be my case. One, my two neurologists who have examined me have said that I'm no more likely to have a seizure than the general public. And why do the FAA's neurologists who have not examined me disagree with them? And what basis do they do it? And secondly, even if you think you're still troubled by that, how about accept my risk mitigation plan?
Okay. you know, for you, flying is even more a part of your life than it is a part of most pilots' lives. So what have you been doing since the medical was denied? I mean, you can't teach, you can't, it's hard for you to conduct your business, right?
Well, yes, I've been watching what Martha's had to do. We have an airplane that requires two pilots. We have an old Falcon 10, and Martha's had to go out and recruit and train pilots who have less experience by far in the airplane than I do, and I'm relegated to sitting in back and watching Martha with other men. And it's never been one of my fantasies to watch Martha with other men.
When is the NTSB here?
It'll be, we're now selecting, trying to get a date from them, probably sometime in the summer. So we don't know for sure when it will be. We have a judge, it's on the docket, and we've been assigned a judge, Judge Mullins. And so it's going to happen. We just don't know for sure when.
So what has the FAA told you exactly? Have they just issued the denial without explanation?
No. In fact, they wrote a letter that the federal air surgeon wrote me a letter. And he said, due to your history of seizures, I had one seizure. We're going to deny you to protect the public and to protect yourself. So they do. When they deny you, they send you a letter on the basis of the denial. But unfortunately, it's very adversarial. What they're doing is defending their own position. And so they're not really open to working a mitigation plan. So basically, the letter was just a statement of their position. And they don't even, it's not even fair. I mean, they don't even have the facts right. And that'll be, again, part of our argument with the NTSB. Well, the interesting thing is that I think the FAA's inflexibility on this is not only, of course, bad for the individual they're being inflexible towards, but it's also bad for the aviation community. And it's bad for the FAA themselves, because this has cost them a lot of goodwill with pilots. It's how laws get passed in Congress requiring a third-class medical reform. And it will continue to harm the FAA until they become more flexible and follow some of these core values of treating people like individuals and making risk-based management decisions.
All right. Well, obviously, we'll be watching it with some interest, John. I appreciate your time today. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.